Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. Hope you had a good week. Labor Day, great time. I've got to let you know something. We have had the privilege of having Tanya's mom and dad, Mo and Debbie, have been with us. They've been here for about the past month, give or take. Would you guys stand and just give them a nice Crossroads welcome? Tanya's mom and dad. So great, it's great to have you guys here, and we're hoping that, you know, that this, if the Lord leads you, this becomes your home. We'd love to have you guys, but thank you for giving us the gift of your daughter. So guys, we got a football game this afternoon, don't we? I'm not really too hopeful. I'm low-keying it. Brock, I already said, okay, you got me, you know. So I'm going to under-promise, maybe over-deliver. No, I don't think so. Expecting you guys to get the W, but thankfully it doesn't affect our morning because they play at 3:30, so that's great. I'm really excited that you're here with us, and we're starting a new series, and we're going to be studying the book of Ephesians, going through the book of Ephesians, and I think this is going to be very timely and really important for us as a church. There's a study guide here, and I noticed that a lot of the study guides aren't being taken. And, you know, you might want to just consider, because as you come to church here and as I preach, now that we're back in an epistle, I'll be going verse by verse. Myself and the staff will be going verse by verse as we teach. And love for you to pick this up and just go a little bit deeper if you'd like. Gino does a great job. He's in a lot of ways a Bible scholar. He knows the Word of God amazingly, and he just makes this so that you and I can go a little bit deeper if that's what you choose. So feel free to pick that up. And I'm really excited about this series. I think it's going to be perhaps life-changing and maybe church-changing. Not that we're great, but we want to be all that God wants us to be. So let me jump in, and I want to give you a little bit of background, just a little bit, on Ephesians. The letter, Ephesians, is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. Okay, so we call it Ephesians. Like, you write to the church in America, it would be called Americans or something along the lines of that, okay? So Paul writes this letter to the church in a city called Ephesus, which was comprised of a group of people that he knew very well, because Paul had spent about 3 years in Ephesus with this group of people. And he continued on his travels, and he wrote them this letter. And Paul, in the 3 years he was there, he wanted to go back, and he was very fond of these people, very, very fond of them. And the church in Ephesus was a good, solid church filled with well-meaning and faithful people, though we do read about them in Revelation chapter 2, okay? And if you can jog your memory, they are the church that, though doing good, had lost their first love. Remember that? Have you heard that? You've heard that preached, probably. Well, this was the church in Ephesus. But for the most part, they were so busy doing God's work, and they were a good church. And later on, we read that was written after Ephesians, that they lost their first love. But in this letter, we find Paul laying out for us how God's people ought to live and how God's church ought to function. Okay, so that gets my attention. Right? I always want to know how God wants me to live, and I'm really excited about knowing how God wants us as a church to function. So we're going to dive into this book with the hopes of having it shape our lives and our church. So here's the deal. We're not so set in stone as a church that we can't grow and learn and make some adjustments as we see what the scriptures call us to. And I hope and pray, I know as an individual, I'm not so set in my ways that I can't learn and grow, and maybe all of us can approach this passage of scripture, this epistle, with humility and ask God, hey, speak to us. Speak to me individually, speak to us as a church, okay? So that's my plan for this book. So let's jump into it, starting in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, as he does in all of his letters, gives a greeting. a greeting, and in this case, to some people he knew very well and he loved very dearly. And this is a typical greeting that Paul would give. He refers to himself as an apostle, and he refers to the believers in the church as saints. As saints, okay? So sometimes we get the idea that a saint is a special person that's done great things on behalf of God, and, you know, we think of Mother Teresa, you know, we think of Saint Francis, we think of some of the, but really, biblically, the Bible refuses the term saint to refer to anyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ, okay? So that'll have some ramifications as we move on in this study. But it's not a special person. It is a special person, but they're only special because they know Jesus, and we're saints, okay? And he calls them, he says, to the saints who are faithful. And then Paul extends grace and peace to these people, okay? So as we get into the subject matter of this letter, Paul wants the Ephesian believers to know what they have available to them because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, oftentimes, we are not mindful of what's available to us and what's ahead for us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize this, but being a child of God, a believer in Jesus, it puts us in a very special classification. And oftentimes, we don't realize that. Well, I'm just, you know, I just go to church. I don't really have an important place, and I'm nobody, nobody. Wait till you see what Paul says about those of you that know Jesus Christ and think you're nobody. You're about to be lovingly and sternly corrected, okay? Because you are a somebody. See, when we know these things, what's available to us, and what's ahead for us, it greatly affects how we live as individuals and how we function as a church when we know what's coming. And I want to illustrate this for you. I've been shopping around for hotels on Expedia for my soon incoming trip to see. Every October, me and Tony go and visit Brianna. JoJo's coming with us. She lives in San Diego. And we're doing a family vacation at the end of this year. And I've been shopping around on Expedia. Now, actually, it's really fun. It's also addicting. Because you go to Expedia, and you type in your name and how many people are going, where you're going to go, and the city you're going to depart from, the city you want to go to, and then you type in the dates that you want to be there, and then it starts popping up hotels, okay? And let me just tell you, this is a great way to really plan a vacation. I didn't know that, but you then pick your hotel, but then you call Expedia, and then the person on the phone is your travel agent, but there's no charge, okay? No middleman. So I've been doing that and trying to find places for our family to stay. And when you're looking at a hotel, you want to see what's being offered. So there's a section called amenities, okay? Amenities. And it's the section that tells you what's available if you book this hotel. So I noticed that it lists everything that you get. So it says, you know, meals, perhaps it's all-inclusive, maybe it's breakfast only. It tells about room service, tells about pools, tells about hot tubs, okay? We're going to try and get down to the Caribbean at the end of the year, and they have hot tubs in the rooms, and I kind of like that, okay? And golfing nearby and all these different things, and you have to read through so you know what is actually available if and when you book that hotel. Here in Ephesians, Paul wants us to know what the amenities are of being a believer, a saint, which and what are the things that are available to us as believers in Jesus Christ. And he refers to these amenities as spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. And listen to me. My biggest job today is to convince you that what I'm about to read to you, that Paul says we have, to convince you that you actually have that available to you and that it's in the future for you. Because when you and I become convinced of that, we live different. We live really different. So let's continue. Verse 3. Let's look at the amenities or the spiritual blessings of being in Christ. Paul says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So he starts out by saying, hey, listen, guys, when you signed up as a follower of Jesus Christ, you now signed up for a hotel that is all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. In fact, spiritually, when we come to know Jesus Christ, as far as spiritual blessings go, we have them all. You say, Joe, I do not. Yes, you do. Because I'm going to believe the word of God over what you think about yourself. We have to let the word of God change the way we think about ourselves, not impose the way we think about ourselves on the word of God. Okay? So we have to sit. Remember, I said we have to be humble and we have to receive this, but he says, we've been blessed, he's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Being in Christ, when it comes to spiritual blessings, it's all inclusive. We get it all, not just in heaven, here. Now, let's continue. Verse 4. Even as he, now he starts to list out the amenities. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Okay, so he starts out by saying, hey, raise your hand if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Put your hand up if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It's just about all of us, okay? So it says that you were chosen. You were chosen. Before the world even was created, you were chosen. And you were you chosen to be holy and blameless? Or are we to be holy and blameless because we're chosen? I'm not sure it matters. Let's say both. The fact that we were chosen, we should then see ourselves as holy and blameless. Now, here's what it means to be holy. It means to be set apart or separate. So he chose us to be set apart and separate from sin. When it comes to holiness, holiness is not the idea of denying ourselves pleasure, but it's the idea of setting ourselves apart from sin and separating ourselves from things that ultimately hurt us. See, we can be holy because Christ is in us. And to be holy, it doesn't mean to be boring. Okay? A lot of times we make those connections. We just don't, you don't understand what you have in Christ. Okay? We have the opportunity to be holy and blameless because we've been set apart because Christ chose us. And as you set yourself apart from sin, guess what? Your life gets really, really good. I want to tell you that it's not always, I'm not always feeling the way I feel, but I've been on a roll for the past 6 months of experiencing God. So Brock texted me on Friday night. He has a group, young adults group that meets. It's an awesome thing. He says, hey, what can we pray for you about? I said, pray for anointing. And anointing where God is able to use me, and I pray that I would continue to have wonderful times in the presence of God. Because as chosen people, we can do that. It's available to us. So here's the deal, guys. So again, think about this. We were chosen. You raised your hands. Almost every one of you said, I believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know that that reflects the fact that you were chosen by God, according to what Paul wrote to the Ephesians? So were you chosen? Think about this. Were you chosen to be holy and blameless, or do you become holy and blameless because you know that you're chosen? I don't really think we have to answer it. I think both. Both. But I want to illustrate this idea of being holy, set apart, separate. Okay? Recently, I went on a... I was talking to my wife's doctor. I went with her to one of her appointments. And I was just talking to her about something I was taking, and I said, man, I always have joint pain and body pain, and she asked me a few questions. She asked me a little bit about my diet, and she said, you know, those simple carbs, I don't know, the fake carbs, you know, the carbs that we eat, not vegetables, but some of the other things, the bread, the pastas that all Italians love and eat crazily. She said it all turns to sugar, and it adds to your joint pain, and she began to just talk to me a little bit about that. And I decided that I was going to start to try and eat righter. Try and eat right, but righter, better. And I started eating clean. And so yesterday, Tony and I, then I talked to my sister, and she eats clean, and she told me to go to Whole Foods, and I went to Whole Foods. I was very disappointed at Whole Foods. Very disappointed, because I went in there with the, I'm very naive when it comes to eating clean, and I went in thinking everything in the entire store is organic. And I walked in, and there's cupcakes and donuts, so I figured, wow, they're organic. There's no sugar. I ate about 6 cupcakes, 2 donuts, and then I felt sick. I really didn't do that. But I quickly found out Whole Foods is not all it's cut out to be. You can find healthy things there, but all of it's not healthy. But here's the deal, guys. I feel amazing. I feel as good as I've felt. I can't remember. I have so much energy. My joint pain is gone, but the reason is because I'm eating clean. And the cleaner I eat, so I don't eat bread anymore. And I don't eat pasta. I said, honey, you make the pasta all you want. I'm not eating it. You know, and I eat lots of fruits, lots of vegetables, and lots of meat. I eat things, but it's working. And here's the deal. If I go out to lunch with you and you see me order something and I don't get like lots of carbs, and you say, wow, I can't believe that you have a lot of discipline. What do you mean discipline? There's no discipline. Wow, you have willpower. I don't have willpower. I like feeling good. Nothing needs to inspire me to eat clean, because I have connected the dot. I eat clean, I feel good, I have lots of energy, and why wouldn't I do that? See, it just makes sense. Guys, listen to me. When it comes to living holy, I'm not going to twist your arm to live holy. Some of us, I know it's more in the second service, but I had to get this point in for you guys. I know it's not you. Some of the people in the second service, they put a lot of sin in their lives. And I'm not going to twist anyone's arm. I'm not going to twist their arms to stop sinning. What I'm going to do is say, hey, why would you do that? When if you eat clean, you're going to feel better. If you live clean, if you follow the scriptures and live the way God told us to, then you are going to feel so much better. You're going to enjoy your life in such a great way. So if you don't want to do it, I don't do it. But my gosh, the benefit of that amenity is amazing. Verse 5. Okay. So me being on a roll, studying this scripture didn't help me get off the roll. I was preparing this sermon, and I had to actually leave my office because there was so much riches about Jesus. I had to come out and say, I came in, I was talking to, I think, Travis and Doug. And remember Travis? And I said, I can't take it. I need a break because I'm being overwhelmed and lavished with the truth of what we have in Jesus Christ. It was overwhelming to me. It was like standing in front of a fire hydrant, you know, and the thing was like knocking me all over the place. I had to get away from it. See, that's what we have in God's word. Okay, so verse 5. Okay, listen. These are the amenities. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Wow. He predetermined that he would adopt us as his children. And it says, as a result of being adopted as children, sons and daughters of God. Again, you say, well, I'm nobody. Nobody. You're a son or a daughter of God because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not living that way. Well, whose fault is that? But you have the opportunity to live that way and to experience all the blessings. He said, where we are blessed in the beloved. In other words, it's such a blessing. There's such a joy in being adopted by God, in being his child. Can you fathom the idea that God adopted me and you? He adopted us. The difference between being an adopted child and being a biological child is really simple. The adopted child has been chosen. Chosen. The biological child, some of you would amen that, you just got stuck, you know. You have the baby, you put the order in, and you just get what you get. Now, we love our children, but I want to tell you this, that God chose us. He predetermined, he predestined us that we would be adopted as his children. Verse 7. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. What is redemption? The forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to, what's the basis of us being forgiven? According to the riches of his grace. See, this, that's after I read that, I was like, I got to get out of here. And I came out, and Travis sobered me up a little bit, you know. I was just being like overwhelmed with the power of God and the power of his truth. We have redemption through his blood. Redemption means we are, our sins, our trespasses have been forgiven. All of them. You say, Joe, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. You don't know what I've done. Okay? I talk to the guys at United House, and I always tell them, if I got caught for half the things I did before I was 15 years old, I'd have been spent a lot of time in jail. Okay? But my sins, all of them, forgiven. All of them. Forgiven. Past, present, and future. According to what? According to the riches of God's grace. The riches of his grace. God is rich enough to pay for any and all of our sins. And if you don't believe that, see, some of you sit here silently with secret sin that you really believe he can't forgive, and you are wrong. In fact, when you think he can't forgive something you've done, you are insulting God. What you're saying is, God, you don't have enough grace, you're not rich enough in grace to cover my sin. And besides being wrong, you're insulting the God who has all the riches of grace. His grace is unending. And we're forgiven. Now, so when you walk out of here and you say, well, I know I'm still a loser. I still got this thing I struggle with. And God is trying to say, I paid for it. It's covered. And when we take shame out of the equation, do you know it's a lot easier to overcome sin when you take shame out of it? Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So what he does is he tempts us to sin. When we sin, he then shames us. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He then tempts us to do it. And when we do it, he says, see, I told you, you're a loser, you're a loser. And then we give up and we continue to give in to that sin. When really, God is saying, you're a winner. I chose you, predestined that I would adopt you as my sons. I poured out, I gave you the great, you're redeemed. Your sins are forgiven because of my riches. So guess what? Don't feel shame. You're forgiven, but start stepping out of that sin. Start eating clean. Start living clean because you're going to find out. You don't have to wait till heaven to feel really good. In this life, I don't care your health. Apart from your health, you can feel really good when you start to recognize what we have in Jesus Christ. So to what extent does our redemption, our forgiveness, the riches of his grace go? Verse 8. So I want to just go back just a phrase. So he says, we've been forgiven our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. What did he lavish upon us? His grace. Lavished in all wisdom and insight. Listen to me. The grace of God has been lavished on us. In fact, if I was 2 months further into my hip recovery, I would fall on the ground. I would have had Brock come out with a thing of Gatorade and dump it on me, and I'd just go on the ground, because that's what it means to be lavished. To be covered. Have you ever seen the person when they get the Gatorade done and it's a good hit? It's a hit, not a miss. You know, when they get the thing and the guy's not looking, I mean, football season started. We're going to be seeing that. And they come over and they dump it right on the coach's head. He is lavish with Gatorade, okay? And that's the idea I want you to get, that God has lavished us who he chose, who he predetermined he would adopt as sons, who he redeemed because of his grace. He's taken that grace and he's lavished it upon us. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Okay. Try getting on that boat, the Maiden Mist, it's called. Is that it? Maiden Mist. And the boat takes you right. You actually go under the falls and around the falls, and they give you a raincoat and a hat because you cannot get close to Niagara Falls and not get wet. You see, you get close to that falls and you get lavished with water in the same way. You cannot be in a relationship with God and not get lavished with his grace. Just gives it to us. Just pours it out upon us. And notice he says, in all wisdom and insight. I have to read this again to you, because you got to understand this. Which he lavished upon us, his grace, in all wisdom and insight. Some of you sit there and you say, well, I don't deserve God's grace. I'm not arguing with you. You don't. I don't. And no one said we had to. We can't deserve it. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. So you say, I don't deserve it. Great. But that doesn't mean it's not being lavished. It doesn't mean you're not getting the thing of Gatorade dumped over your head. Because you're adopted. You were chosen, predetermined that you would be adopted as his son. And he's poured his grace. He's lavished you with his grace. And it's in all wisdom and insight, meaning God thought about it in a wise and insightful way and decided that you and I were worth being lavished with his grace. Now that's love. That is love. And again, remember I told you my goal today is to get you to actually believe that what's written in the scriptures, you would say you believe the scriptures, that what's actually written there is actually true and applies to you. Now, I tell you, when you understand this, no one needs to twist your arm to turn away from things that you know to be sinful in your life. Why would you want to? I'm going to be holy because I was chosen, or I'm chosen and that's why I'm holy. But either way, I want to be close to someone that loves me that way. And so do you. Verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of his will. You see, as his children who are adopted, we get the in on God's will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. Now, I'm not going to explain this in detail yet. We'll get to it later on. But when he talks about making known to us the mystery of his will, in this particular passage, he's not talking about his will for your life. That's not what he's referring to here. He's talking about his will concerning his purposes for the world. And one of the benefits we have being children of God, being adopted, is that we get to know God's plans. We get to know his plans for the world. And we'll see it in Ephesians. Verse 11, just a couple more verses. In him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ, these were the early first century believers in Jesus, might be to the praise of his glory. See, in Christ we have an inheritance. And again, we see that word predestined. So it's been predestined that we would have an inheritance. It's already been established by God, and we can count on the fact that we have this inheritance from him. Now, this inheritance has to do with what you've heard called heaven. You've heard the idea eternal life, and that's part of our inheritance, that we get something. That in this life, we have all these things available, but in the next life is when things really kick in. It's when it really kicks in. And we see that we have this, and what's the proof? You know, how do we know that heaven is really going to be this great, or that even we're going to get there. Now, I say that knowing the answer, but I know the answer to that, and so do you. But all of us have had times where we ask that question. We have questions. We have doubts. It's part of being human. It's part of this separation we experience. But I want you to know that God has given us a way, a guarantee to know what's in front of us. Listen, verse 13. It says, in him, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I want to illustrate this for you in a really simple way, but you noticed the, by the way, Travis does our graphics. He does an amazing job. And so when we, this is a Ziploc bag, okay? And when a person, did I lock it? I unlock, I, okay. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, he seals them. He seals them with his Holy Spirit. And it's why I believe that when a person truly knows Christ, that they can't lose that because they're sealed. So you know, this guy, he can't get out, you know? He's stuck, okay? Now, I can let him out, but I'm not going to let him out because I sealed this, okay? He's not leaving, okay? Let me read that to you again, okay? In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised, not with a Ziploc, but with the promised Holy Spirit. Listen, look at verse 14. It's amazing. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance. You see that? The Holy Spirit living inside of us is God's way of giving us a guarantee of our of what's coming until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. See, when we agree to buy something, you go out, you put a down payment on the item as a partial payment and as a way of promising that you're going to complete the purchase, the down payment, right? God said, I'm going to give you, I purchase for you eternal life. When you believe in me, I'm going to seal you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's dwelling in your life is a promise of the fact that I am guaranteeing that I will come through with what I promised. You will receive your inheritance. I'll complete the purchase. I bought you, and you will be with me as my son or daughter forever in heaven. And it's promised. So if you've ever sensed the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit can, you can feel him, and sometimes you don't feel him. But I know that he's in my life, because when I came to Christ, if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. And it was the Holy Spirit within me that brought about those the change in heart, the change in attitude. He didn't make me perfect. He can perfect me when I cooperate with him. But the Holy Spirit's presence in my life and in your life is the guarantee that someday we're going to get a whole lot more. So in closing, along the lines of Expedia, let's look at the amenities of being a follower of Christ. I'm just going to read them to you. We're chosen. We're predestined. Predestined. God planned it out. We're adopted. We're blessed. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. We experience the riches of his grace, which were lavished upon us. We get to know his will concerning what he's doing in the world. We have an inheritance. We've been sealed, and we have the guarantee, the down payment, that everything God promised to us will be given to us someday. So now, when you're going to book the flight, you got to put your information in, right? Your name, your address, phone number, email, and then you got to put your credit card information in. And the nice thing about what God offers is there's no charge. But you get to the bottom of the application and of the purchase, and you click pay or whatever it is. I don't do it that. What is it? It's not pay. Submit. And then it says, congratulations, you have successfully made this purchase. So God, through Jesus Christ, says, listen, forget Expedia. Jesus was here long before Expedia. He offers this to us. And you gotta sign up. You have to want this, but there's no charge. You don't have to put your credit card information in there. You just have to say, I believe. And when you click submit, he says, congratulations, you have successfully made the purchase. And Jesus now is yours. The Holy Spirit lives within you and has sealed you. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now begin to enjoy the amenities that are before you. And smile, amen? Let's close in prayer. If you're here this morning and you're really struggling to believe these things, and you believe it's true for me, you certainly believe it's true for Gino, you hope it's true for Travis and Brock, you know it's true for them. But maybe you struggle to believe it's true for you. Ask God to help you with that. If you're struggling, I just want people, just let's allow people to have privacy. So just kind of, you don't have to bow your head, but just close your eyes. If you're struggling to believe that these things that you know to be true but are actually true for you, would you slip your hand up? Okay. Thank you. Some people on the stage are putting their hand up. Anyone else? Okay. Wow, okay. Anyone else? I don't know if I believe you. Because if we can believe this, wow, things are going to be different next week, right? We're going to come in here with the fire of God burning within us. Lord, I come before you. I ask for each person that slipped their hand up. Honestly, Lord, there are times that I forget this. There are times that I think it works for everyone else but me. On a regular basis, over the years of me knowing you, I have regularly questioned this, as probably most of us do. Lord, I'm in a good place, but the good place doesn't change your truth. And when I'm in a bad place, it doesn't change your truth. These things are true. And would you help each one of us to embrace them more and more, and then to begin living like these things are true in our lives. And Lord, in so doing, would you transform us? And would you transform our church? In Jesus' name, amen.